Blog Talk Radio.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain on a bomb, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove. I'm a fighter, it's not an option to lose.
Shelly Nunchuck Show. Woohoo! It's happy hump day, hump night. It's actually my Thursday, tomorrow's my Friday. And I got a wicked cool show. And I've got to admit, I'm so excited and I hope he's actually going to call in. This special guest star, guest host, whatever you want to say, I'm just so excited I can't even speak right now. This is what happens when you don't know what you're going to actually say on a live radio show where you have to talk for almost like 2 hours sometimes. But I have a fellow ninja that I'm going to bring on the show, and I'm going to let him talk about his film festival. And I've actually, he was actually in one of my stunt classes, and I'm so excited. And I actually do not even know how to pronounce his name right. All I think is a wrestler, but he's actually not a wrestler. He's actually a martial artist, and I'm going to bring him on. I hope this is his telephone number. Jeffrey, if you're out there, make sure you call in, because I'm trying to learn as I go about the show, because I have to learn how to actually call people. It's Jeffrey Diabasi, and it's spelled D-E-B-I-A-S-E. Sometimes I talk a little bit funny, but I like to bring him on, and he's one of the guys that I actually hope to work with someday. So let's see who this guest is. Give me one moment to bring them on.
Hello?
Hello, Paula, you're on the air?
Yes, hello. Guess who this is?
Is this Jeffrey?
It is indeed.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. I just, like, this is super awesome night.
That's awesome. It's funny because I called in, and while I'm waiting on hold, I can hear the show start, which is great because I can hear you start. And so I heard your whole intro, and, you know, it's great because, you know, you're saying how you're anticipating the call, and then here I am, and it just works out pretty well.
Yeah, and I'm so excited. I was like, bada boom, bada bing, there he is. And I do apologize because I talk kind of funny. One thing I have in common with Jackie Chan, I talk kind of funny, and I want to know, what is the correct way to say your name?
Oh, it's, you know, it's the real authentic way, if you want to be authentic, is DiBiase. It's much like the wrestler Ted DiBiase, although it's spelled differently. But growing up, you know, I've heard everything from DeBias to DeBose. So it's but to be honest, I go by DiBiase. So.
Oh, okay, because I did have it right. I was like, when I would talk to people about you, but like, oh, yeah, and try to show about your YouTube videos and stuff, I was like, man, are you, like, in the top 10 to play, like, the next Crow in my head? There's another guy named Jason Rainwater, who another guy who I want to work with, and I look at you, and I'm like, I see your videos, and I'm going, my gosh, she's got those facial expressions, and if you put the makeup on your face with your movements and the same exact body frame, you could pull it off as the Crow. I mean, of course, it's like, I know people are like, oh, don't compare me to, like, Brandon and Bruce and stuff, but you kind of, because it's like, it's not being disrespectful, but, I mean, the way that they try to cast, you know, for it, where, like, they wanted the guy from The Hangover and all these things, like, oh, that's, like, an abomination. And it says, come on, I mean, I know this guy is, like, Jeff here. You'd be doing a hell of a lot better job. And I'm actually excited that you did call in, because I want you to tell me about everything you're doing. I'm like, we're catching up live on the air, because the last time I saw you was at Bridge Crusader down at the Regent Theater, and I think that was the last time I actually seen you.
Yes, that's correct. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
Oh, it's
yeah,
a
that was
just a couple years ago. Just to backtrack a bit about your thoughts about me playing the Crow, I really would love to hire you as an agent, because if I can convince everybody else of that, then I'd certainly have a job. I remember that they had Mark Dacascos, I believe, do the Crow for a short while. There was a TV series that was short-lived.
Yeah.
And I thought he looked fantastic as the Crow.
Definitely.
I think he's part Filipino as well, which I am as well. So if he could play the Crow, then maybe I could play the Crow too.
Yeah, well, you know what? I bet you and I mean, with half the stuff that's out there, the craptastic indie stuff, like, films that are out there, and you wonder, like, how the heck does this get shown? It's like, all you need is the people to do it that have the heart, and just seeing your YouTube videos, and I don't even know how you're not on a big action film. I really don't know. You have that look. I mean, you have the movements. It just blows my mind. It's like, I know you have a busy life, like you teach and stuff. You still teach, right?
Yes, I do. Yes.
Yeah, and you have that. You know, you have that kind of essence where you could pull it off like there's no problem whatsoever.
Yeah, I very much appreciate the good words. And I guess the key part of it, I think, is I'm kind of really bad at PR. I just I don't publish my stuff enough or get it out there enough. I'm more focused on trying to create the stuff and produce it. And between that and all my other responsibilities, I sometimes find myself lacking on the promotional side, but that's why I need people like you.
Yeah, I mean, I try to do what I can. It's like, I started doing fan club pages for one of the guys that I call my brother and out in Hollywood is Jay Giannone. I do a fan club page for him, and I try to do it. I mean, I do this other guy, Arnold Chan. I did a fan club page for him and a couple other things, and I've just been so busy doing the radio show, and I've just did a trying to finish writing and getting my children's book together and all these different things. And I'm like, man, I like doing the fan club pages. And it's like, maybe it's something I can start and have you or someone added on to it as like an admin. Because I know I start pages pretty good. And it's just that I always want to do stuff, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maintaining
like,
can be a difficult thing if you have a lot of things going on. But I did see the Jay Giannone page, and I think it's great that you're doing these things to promote these artists. It's always wonderful to have someone backing you up.
Yeah, and it's to know the things, and it's like for the feel of what with yours, you know, with the martial arts, because as you know, I'm not really a chick flick kind of girl. And the action stuff, I was like, I don't know, I think I was actually all excited in the Bridge Crusader when you guys had like live sword fighting on the stage in the Regent Theater, and they had belly dance, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've got to see this stuff. And I get excited because this is the stuff I love. So it's like when I was watching your YouTube videos, I'm like, damn, you should be not just in YouTube videos, you should be actually in independent films that are actually shown in the theaters. Even if it's not some blockbuster film, you have that. You have the experience. And I don't know. I mean, I'm doing my own little film myself up here in Maine, but you know, in the future, you know, with what I'm trying to learn, I'm learning as I go. If you get investors, if you get people and stuff to help you out, because I've talked with many different film people, and they're trying to teach me, you know, the ropes of everything. And I have people that are always in the back of my mind, and you actually have always been one of those persons, you know, for the past couple of years. And I'm like, you know, with you and so many other people, like I like the EMC Monkeys. I don't know if you know who they are.
Oh, yeah, fantastic group of fun fighters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're like insane. And the guy, Sin the Head Monkey, he was actually one of Jackie Chan's disciples. And it's like, you know, these guys are nuts. And it's like, I just know, it's like with money, you can make anything. I mean, and you can get anyone. And it's just having that, seeing you guys all have that. And with the experience where you guys can take great beatings and stuff, I bet you they know from the experience and looking with your training. That's what they need on sets. And your facial expressions, when I'm watching them, I go, that's a little bit of Bruce Lee going on in the facial expressions. It's like you're wiping your nose and how it's like a natural thing for you. So that's what you want to catch. You want to catch the natural ability. And from what, like, a lot of people, they don't understand, and I try to talk to, like, regular people, and what, like, it's kind of almost insulting because they're like, oh, I don't care who does the stunts. And I'm like, these people don't understand. It's like anybody that's not even doing independent filming, it's like, really? Like especially a lot of girls when I talk to that are not into action, I'm like, well, I don't care who does the stunts. And I'm like, really? And I'm sitting here, and I've talked with many people like yourself, getting to know more and more people. And I give a lot of props to the stunt people. And, like, people like you, you would do your own stunts and fight scenes. And you guys don't get enough, you know, promotion and enough acknowledgement unless you win some big award.
Yeah, I totally hear what you're saying there. I agree. I don't know enough about it from a professional standpoint because I haven't worked as a professional, per se, stunt person in any sort of Hollywood productions. But I do get the impression that the stunt folks are generally kind of pushed to the background. They don't get as much credit as I believe they should because, you know, these folks, they put their lives on their line. They train incredibly hard to get themselves incredibly conditioned, and they should be given some sort of respect for that. I don't think that there are very many award shows or ceremonies that promote and celebrate the art of being a stunt person. And but yet there's a million award ceremonies for being an actor in Hollywood. So I think, you know, this should be more of a balance there. I totally agree with what you're saying there.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for the stunt people and the fighters, I mean, how would the actors look? Do you know what I'm saying? Because they don't want to, I don't know if one reason or why or another, I mean, maybe it's insurance reasons or the studios or whatever their contracts are. They don't want the main character to get it hurt. But
yeah,
I think you would agree with me. You know, with Hollywood, I tend to think that a lot of Asian action films, maybe it's a different country and stuff, but those Asian action films like Jackie and Donnie Yen and a bunch of other people, they're twice as good as Hollywood.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
Just seeing, you know, so it's something that I know you totally agree with me, and I just would, I mean, I wish there was something more I could do because I don't know if you could say I'm a promoter per se. I just talk, and I show what I love, and that's what people see. And what I love is, you know, I use my Facebook, I use this radio show, and I'm starting to write on Hub pages, and I'm doing more and more, and I'm trying to write what I can. So every time I see something, and if you do something I think it's cool, I'm like, oh, my God, that's awesome. And I'll sit there and watch it sometimes, like with YouTube videos. When I first started seeing it, I would watch it over and over again. I go, this guy's nuts. I said, oh, my God, and it's like the little tiny things, and even when you're with a ninja, right, and you're swinging the nunchucks around, and it was like part where you're, like, bored, and you're just like, oh, and then the guy walks by, and you just smack him, you're like, oh. It's just like those tiny little things is the stuff that I love, and it's like you could sit there peeing your pants while watching the stuff you're doing because you have that, and I'm just like, man, I just don't know how people don't see you and put you in a big film. I just don't know because I think you would go out of your way to almost kill yourself in a film, which I hope that never comes, but I just see that in you. You know, you're one of those people that do have it, and I just, you know, if I ever have my own Jackie Chan stunt team, I'd be like, hey, listen, Jeff, you want to be on my team?
That would be fantastic.
So now this stuff that I want you to tell me, what about the thing that's coming up for you, the film festival, the date and everything that's about it? I want you to tell me about it. I know you wrote a bio, but in your own words, I'd like you to talk about it tonight on the show.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So it's the second Boston Action Film Festival, which will be happening September 16th. That's this Sunday at 2:00 p.m. Had the first one a few years ago. It's basically the whole point behind it is that I really feel that just from what I've seen, from what I've experienced over the past several years working in independent film, that there really is not a large community at all for action filming in the Boston area. It just really doesn't exist. And anybody who's really good at it or has ability, they'll usually either move to New York or California, understandably, because that's where all the action is. And that's where all the head honchos are, and there's more opportunity there. But as a result, there's really nothing going on in the New England and Boston area, and I wanted to change that. I wanted to help promote more awareness for action films because, you know, there are so many great films out there, so many independent filmmakers that make fantastic films, and I think, you know, they should get more exposure. And by giving more exposure to these folks, I would hope that in turn inspires more local people in the Boston area to start creating more action films because there really is a lack of it. I mean, I think I'm probably one of the only people in the Boston area that makes action films. So the whole point is it's sort of a dream of mine, sort of a goal, is to try to promote more awareness of action films, get more people making films like this in the Boston area, and just you know, make it a bigger, more noticeable thing. I think in life, if you find something that you like to do, that you're passionate about, you owe it to yourself to express that and to do whatever you can to get that across. And if you have, in my case, if I have a passion for film and martial arts and action films, I want to, you know, express that and get it out there and hopefully get more people inspired to be a part of it.
Yeah, with this, with what I'm seeing, because I just pulled up the page where it says Boston Action Film Festival 2nd, I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I'm looking at, I looked at that one film that you had posted. I forget the name of it, but the guy's going with it. It talks about, you know, it shows this girl with blonde hair and she's getting abused or something, and it was like a quick trailer to another film. Like, I was trying to see.
Is that Tyler Williams? If you're on Facebook, is that Tyler Williams? Maybe
that's who it was. Like, I was looking at that, and I don't know. Were you in that film at all?
Go ahead.
Oh, okay, because you have this black bandana that you wear. So there was a guy in that did this. He got thrown. He did this flip, and I was like, that looks like Jeff, but I could be wrong because you would have said that you were in the film. So I was like, that looks like him. I could be wrong, but just to see what they were doing in that little time, I'm just like, it's really amazing the effort that people put into these films, even the short films themselves. And I'm like, people look at independent films, and it's like, they don't understand. It's like, people, all these films really aren't that good. But it's like, to make people understand more and more, independent films, especially the action films where, you know, you're not just acting, but you're doing the stunts and fight scenes. You give your heart more. You actually have to take the money out of your pocket. You don't have this big, huge budget, and it's like, you are the ones who are making the films happen. Usually it's the people that are actually acting in it. They're the ones that are running the films because it's their films and it's their visions, and they don't want to, like, you know, have someone else do it. So
mm-hmm.
it's something, you know, that I do see, that I do recognize independent films for their work, because people can only work with what they have with money and resources, and it's a very small budget sometimes, and people don't understand that, and they, like, turn around and says, well, that film isn't, you know, done that well. And I'm like, how can you disrespect something when they don't have that much money?
That's correct.
Work with what they got, and they're doing the best that they can. Now, mm-hmm. I bet you, with you or me, if we were given $1 million, right,
mm-hmm.
I bet we really can make a couple films with that just $1 million, because from what I believe, when you tell a story on a film, what you should do is make it for less money and make more money off of it in a theater. Now, you're seeing all these films out there that are Hollywood blockbusters. They're spending so much money, yet it's kind of like, if you happen to see it, you're like, that's it, and they spent all this money, and they don't always get back, you know what I'm saying, as much as that they spent on it. And I'm like, isn't that really a waste of money to begin with? Now, with the indie films, mm-hmm. they only have a small budget, and they do the best that they can. And that's why I give you a lot of credit, and I'm like, I'm just sitting there when I watch your YouTube videos, and I'm just like, man, how is he not in more bigger action films? And I'm like, I don't know, like, if you had more stuff and you sent it, maybe I can start a fan club page for you, you know, do something, because it's like getting a feel. Like, I think I do a better fan club page when I know more about a person, and I can actually run that life with Jay. I know so much about him, and I'm from Boston, and I lived in the same area that he lived. So it's kind of like I know Jay. Do you know what I'm saying? It's kind of like that feel for him, and that's why I can run it really well. Now, if it was something, if I know a person, the more I know, it's like I can run a fan club page really well. But the problem is, you know, to get do that promotion, you get to have the time. I mean, I love doing it. It's a lot of work because you copy and paste the picture. You get a picture from somewhere. I'm just doing basic stuff. You know, you take a picture off a Facebook site, you copy it, you put it in a file, and then you get to add it to the site. Then you might have to put a title or put it in an album. And it takes time. And that's why I was like, you know, if I could start something for you, I would like to do it. But if you know if I can add you on it and then whatever, even to start it to get more recognition for you, I don't mind doing that. If you want me to do that, I can actually do it for you if you would like.
Well, that's a great offer, sure. I mean, we can certainly, you know, I don't know if we could do it here on the show, but, you know, after the show, we could contact you. I could contact you on Facebook or call you, and then we can work out the details of how that works. If you'd want to do that, that's fine. I think it's great that you're actually putting forth the effort to help these folks, you know, and by creating these fan pages. So, sure, I could certainly talk with you about setting that up.
Yeah, I mean, just so you know, you can inbox me with your telephone number and I can start it for you. And I know I'm going a little sidetracked here, but I just wanted to, like, you know, offer you that there, and we can get it going and maybe have someone you know to help you out and get some admins, and we'll get that going for you. So every time you have a film or whatever, we can add it on there. And so is there anything with the film festival? Do you want to talk more about that? The films, the people, you know,
sure.
What it's going
to
do?
In fact,
everything.
Yeah, I was going to. You started to mention it earlier. You said you saw a trailer for something on the website there for the fest. And I believe what you saw was a trailer for a film called All In. And I wanted to give a shout out to Tyler Williams, because Tyler Williams is a fantastic upcoming martial arts expert who does action films, and he submitted that film and to the Action on Film Festival in Pasadena, California, and he won an award for Best Fight Choreography for an action short, and I believe he won Male Performer Star of the Year. So I'm totally psyched and happy to have this film at my festival. So this is the kind of level of quality that's out there, and it's a really fantastic film, and I'd like to keep promoting stuff like this, again, in the hopes to inspire more folks in the local area to strive for this kind of quality. And along those lines, like I said earlier, I'm probably one of the few people in the New England area that's doing stuff like this in the Boston area. I also want to give a shout out to Paul Drescher Martel. I don't know if you know him, but he made another.
Oh, yes, I work with Paul. He's one of my samurai buddies.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, Ground and Pound. It was a film that he made. And this is a great shout-out to local talent in the area, because this is a fantastic film. He also submitted it, and it was nominated for several awards to the Action on Film Festival this year, and I'm going to be showing it this year at my festival. And I don't want to give away too much. Check the website. It's the Second Boston Action Film Festival on Facebook, and check it out there. I have posted some trailers and some information on each of these films, and I'm going to continue to post trailers for the films that will be shown. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great event. Let me kind of just summarize what's going on. Not only are you going to get some of the best action films from around the world and in the local area, but I also got this a great comedian. He's a comedian and radio personality. His name's Big Nez, and he runs an unregular radio. He runs a talk show. And if you want to visit him, he's at bignez.com. That's bignez.com. And you see, this guy's done some stuff. He's done some opening stand-up comedian work for Sinbad. So he's going to come down to the show. He's going to lay some stand-up on us. Then we're going to see some films. And then somewhere in the middle, I'm going to do a brief sort of seminar fight choreography demonstration. I'm going to take some real-life concepts from real martial systems. I'm going to demonstrate that to people, and then I'm going to show them how to apply it to making choreography in film. So it's almost kind of a learning thing. I like to put a little learning experience in it. So, you know, and then after that, we'll continue on with a few more films. And then at the end, we got some great raffle items. Okay, I'm talking. I'm trying to create essentially a variety show. I want to be able to offer lots of things that appeal to lots of people, because, you know, obviously the focus is on action films, but there's going to be some folks that, you know, may not be so much into action films, but there's other stuff there that they'll like, you know. So I'm trying to give something for everybody. And these comp items that I'm giving away at the raffle, these are quality. I mean, I'm talking about F1 Boston here. know if anybody's driven mini F1 cars at F1 Boston.
Yes.
You literally get in the car and race around a track. It's insane. And I've done this.
I've done that. That's awesome. I did that last year. So I didn't do it in Boston. I did it in Maine. Mm-hmm. And I just kept crashing, but I had a ball. I don't know if it was called F1. I don't know if there's one up in Maine, but there was a big track, and it's indoors, and they went really fast, really, really fast, and it was just awesome. So I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm jealous.
Yeah.
I get down there, because going to, like, this is the stuff I missed from Boston. It was, like, a lot of people have been inviting me to these things, because believe me, if I was still living in Boston, I'd be, like, down there, unless, you know, I knew someone that was going to down there, you know, up in Maine, because I would love to go the day to see this. This is, like, the type of stuff that I, like, really love.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Oh, there's tons of stuff. Boston paintball, okay, that's another – how can you not want to do some of that if you're into action and moving around? There's a place – it's a fairly new place. I believe it's a fairly new place. I haven't heard of it until, you know, I think it was earlier this year was the first time I heard of it. It's called Sky Zone. It's on Sprague Street in Boston, and this place, you know, it may not seem like much. It's wall-to-wall trampolines, okay? And you may think, well, that doesn't seem like much, but when you get there, I can't tell you how many adults I see there doing this. It's a great workout. If you're into stunts, it's a perfect springboard, literally, to help you start to learn how to do backflips, forward flips, front flips, and backflips.
Oh, my God!
I mean, I'm telling you, the possibilities are endless, and it's just fun, just jumping around, bouncing off walls. So,
God, that's my type of fun. Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be giving away tickets for, you know, you come in for a day pass, you know. So so it's worth the effort to make it to the fest, you know, if nothing else for the raffle items.
Oh, no. Man, that's going to be so awesome, just to be like flipping around like a monkey.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, do you think people that dress up like ninjas and go to the film festivals, do anybody you think will dress up?
You know, that's entirely up to them. I'm not going to turn anybody away unless they take a sword out and attack somebody. Then I might have to do something about that, but otherwise you can dress up if you want. As long as you come
Maybe
and have a good time.
Yeah, you could do your own, like, Comic-Con convention. If this stuff really starts taking off and stuff, which I'm pretty sure it's been doing pretty good, like, in the very first time you did one of these, where I saw a picture and I think I commented on it, but I think the thing is down. I was like, oh, well, that's a very big sword.
Yeah,
and
no.
Really
that was, that's
sword.
Right.
And it was
yes.
Just like,
I remember that. Like, that was in 2000. That was the last Action Film Festival. That was at those 4 years ago, 2008.
Yeah, I was like, my, that's kind of a big sword, and the way you were holding it, I just couldn't stop laughing. I'm like,
yeah.
Man, that's
It kind of looked suggestive. I could see where that was coming from.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not like you meant to do that because you were talking, but I was
not
like
at all.
Looking at it, I was like, oh Lord.
You can blame that entirely on the cameraman. It was the person that took that still photo. He's trying to frame me.
But I was just like seeing that. I was like, man, I bet that was such a good time. And to think that, I mean, these things are really starting to take off. Because I remember, like, with Comic-Con conventions before that, it became really cool. And it was like, you know, before it was cool to be a nerd.
Yeah.
You were just, like, loving this, and it was a lot less money. But now going to Comic-Con conventions, you have to pay to get in. There's parking. Then to get an autograph, you have to buy a picture there and then pay money to get the autograph. And it's like, we need something. It's like, maybe people can start affording this. Like, maybe this is, like, each year your film festival will grow more and more, because I'm pretty sure you're going to get a following with this, and it's really good. Maybe there'll be a bigger venue. I mean, over in the I think there's where they had one of the Comic-Con conventions in Boston. I think they had it over in Southie 1 year.
Mm.
And they sometimes do have it in Boston, and to have it grow that big would be amazing. Imagine if it could take off and you could, like, go travel with this. Like,
yeah.
Go internationally.
Well,
that would be amazing.
That would be absolutely fantastic. I could, if I can make a life or a living out of it, that would be awesome. And along those lines, I'd like to maybe shout out a couple words here as far as if anybody out there is listening who's interested in what I've just described at the festival, and you may be interested perhaps in being a sponsor, please contact me, because we could exchange some information, do something where I advertise for you, and you can cover some of the cost of the rental of the theater and various other costs. Because really, Shelley, the bane, if you will, of trying to get this going in a more serious level is the money. It is a cost. There is a cost factor here. And I am not exactly the most, you know, the richest person in the world. You know, I work for a living. I work for a living like everybody else. And so if, you know, if I could achieve it, you know, get a few sponsors who are interested in this event, and you know, if you see some possibilities with where this might be able to go, please contact me, and we can work out some details, and perhaps I can get the festival going on a more regular basis. Because I don't know if you noticed, but it is not actually an annual festival. I would not have the resources to be able to make this an annual festival at this point. It comes because I essentially fund it. It's all out of my own pocket. So if I can get sponsors involved or somebody who's interested in promoting for the festival to help cover some of those costs, I might be able to make it a bigger festival, more frequent, you know, and just, you know, see where it goes.
Yeah, it's too bad it wasn't something like a big once-a-year thing. And you're right. It's very hard with, you know, coming out of your own pocket. I know exactly how you feel, because it's like the short film that I'm doing, the one that I'm dedicating to Jackie. Even just to get this one going, and it's a short film.
Mm-hmm. This is the dishwasher, right? This is the dishwasher.
Yeah, this is the dishwasher.
Tell me a little bit about that. I see it all over, but how's that going?
Well, the thing is, like with anybody with independent film, sometimes it takes a while to get going.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that had happened, you know, I was putting it out there, and I had a handheld camcorder, and I'm like sitting there thinking, you know, I'm just writing like how I do. I write crazy things on my wall all the time, and I'm sitting there going, I wonder if I can make this film with my handheld camcorder. Mm-hmm. And it's like, the thing is, do you know Sang Verapaz? He's a director.
You sound familiar. Go ahead.
Well, he had said to me, so it's like, I'd like to film it for you. So, you know, we started talking and stuff, but little did I know, he surprised me, and he says he wanted to use his cameras and stuff.
Okay.
So what I was like, really? I was like, okay, he's volunteering. Like, I have a $500 budget. This is unheard of, I know, but it was like, it's just to cover some costs and stuff. And it's like, mm-hmm. and Sang is like volunteering his time and stuff. And it's like, I was like, wow, you really want to help me? And he's like, yeah, because he wants to help me with my dream and stuff, because this is something for me. My film is really important to me, because my dream is to work with Jackie.
Absolutely.
So the thing for me, knowing that, I've been trying to every day for 7 years, like wanting to work with Jackie Chan. And it's like, I just have basic martial arts skills, but I have great comedic timing, and there's many different people that work in a Jackie Chan film.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, okay, you know, with the dishwasher and stuff, you know, this is my thank you and my dedication to Jackie Chan. So I kept, you know, trying to find people that actually, you know, want to be part of the film. And it's like, you know, trial and error, see who, you know, factors and stuff. So I finally realized the guy that I ended up making my lead bad guy, his name is Anthony Huang. And the guy is amazing. He works mm-hmm. in the circus. He went to stunt school. He knows, like, martial arts and all these different things. And I was like, you know, I've been keeping in touch with them. And it's like, this guy is just, like, really amazing. And you can, like, I have him as a friend on my Facebook page. I mean, even though it's hidden and stuff, I can post more about him. And I was like, wow, I said, this is really great. And this other guy, Jason Lee.
Well, I was going to say, if I could say, the funny thing is the name is familiar, and I recognize it now. He, I noticed he posted on the Second Boston Action Film Festival site on Facebook. He mixed up the date of when the fest was. I guess he tried to go to the fest a few days ago, and he thought the fest was. So
I could tease him now. I was like, Anthony, I'm gonna tease you now.
Well, I saw that he wrote that, and I commented. I said, you know, I totally appreciate that you're enthusiastic to coming out there, and I it's unfortunate that you came the wrong day, but now at least you know where it is.
Yeah, but he has his personality. It's like, it's kind of funny, because I'm like thinking, you know, I'd like to work with the EMT monkey someday, and I'm sitting here going, you know what? I think all my bad guys and me, I was like, I cut down so much. I'm trying to make it sweet and short to the point, have a Jackie Chan feel to it. And I'm like, I am going to have a bunch of crazy Asians running around that'll like monkeys. And I'm like, we're doing it up here in Maine. And I'm sitting here going, I really am. And I'm like, this is really cool. And the thing is, what my idea for the dishwasher was actually, it's actually part of my life, because the dishwasher, the title from the dishwasher, I know you're going to love this. You're going to love how I got this idea. And I kind of paid homage to Bruce Lee. And the film, the film The Dragon with Jason Scott Lee,
yep.
There's a part where, you know, he gets into a fight and he's a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
And
his
boss sits him down, and the boss goes like this. She goes, you know, she's trying to tell him, you know, either pick this path or that path. If you pick the bad path, she sits here and she goes, you know, I could always use a nice, good dishwasher. So the dishwasher is really supposed to sound like dishwasher. That's the name. That's actually how it's supposed to sound. That's where I got the name for the title from my film. So, you know, I'm a dishwasher, and I actually, up in Maine, I'm using a Chinese food restaurant, a diner that's next door. I mean, I can't really destroy the place. I mean, it's only an indie film, but they're like letting me. It's mom and pop's place. It just has a great feel to it. And across the street, there's an abandoned gas station, and I was posting pictures of it on my Facebook, and I'm like, Anthony, you thinking what I'm thinking? He's like, oh my gosh.
Great location.
And I just, you know, just everything's there, and we're going to rehearse one day, and it's a Sunday before we actually film, and then we're going to film it. So, you know, it comes down that Sang has been very busy. He's like, he has so much work to do. The guy's, like, utterly amazing. I mean, it's just the list of stuff that he does, and it's like, I just have that feeling that I just know. You know how you feel like you're going to blend with people? You just have that feeling. I think with those three guys, as in my team, I says, you know, I wouldn't mind building my own Jackie Chan stunt team and just getting to know people over the past couple of years. And I've known you for a couple of years now. Do you know what I'm saying? Knowing that, and I know, I mean, there's something that I would love to do. And it's like with Jay Giannone, I told him, I says, I would love to work with you. And it's actually to work side by side with him in an action film. And I know if you get the money, you can make an action film that's really great. And it doesn't have to be the most expensive one. I was like, I would love to do an action film back home in Boston, like a really big, crazy one. You got things blowing up. You got cars, race scenes and everything. But it's for people, you know, that actually are doing their own stunts. The major, you know what I'm saying? It's like
right.
People mm-hmm. that actually, even basic things, you know, whatever you can do, you know, you give whatever you can in that film, whatever your expertise is. Like right now I've been taking horseback riding lessons for this other film called Falcon, and then I'm part of where I'm actually playing like a kind of a Wonder Woman. I'm one of the leads, and we get like transformed into these fighters and stuff. And it's like,
all right.
Just
I've seen the pictures on the horseback. It looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and I just can't believe it's like, oh, next month I'm turning 42. And people are like, oh, my God. And it's like when people say, I don't know if I can do something, I'm going, why? You know, especially with acting. And I'm going, you know, you can do it. You can actually, you know, if I'm 42 and I'm taking horseback riding lessons, what do you mean you can't act or something? Oh, I don't know if I can. I go, why? You people are younger than me. You're in your 20s. You can go out and do these things, you know.
It's all kind of comes down to drive, and you're only as old as you feel. I mean, look at Jackie Chan. I mean, you know. Look at how old he is, yet he is probably in better shape than most 25-year-olds that I know. Okay?
Yeah.
That's a testament to what you can do. The age doesn't matter, so.
Yeah, and it really has to do with a positive attitude. Now, I know for real, I mean, I can't be like Jackie or, you know, like I know you're more far advanced than me with the martial and stuff, and I have basic. But the thing is, I can be the best Shelley Nunchucks, give what I can, and I know I can make people laugh. I mean, I posted a thing about inventory. I don't know if you've seen that video I posted on from the show where I'm screaming at the actors, and it's fun with Dennis Hurley and a whole bunch of other people, and we're slackers in this film called Inventory.
Oh, I remember the film. I know you had a pair of nunchucks in that, but incidentally, I don't know how many people know it, but the actual spelling of the word is actually Nunchaku, so it's pronounced more like nunchaku, But the English term is it's kind of turned into different things like nunchucks. But I just thought I'd point that out.
This you are right. You're definitely right.
Yeah, but as far as the film is concerned, send me the link because I know I've seen clips of you doing stuff, but I don't think I've seen that particular link. So send me the link.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to figure out how to send it to you because you'll sit there pissing yourself laughing because it's like the thing that happened in the film. We were filming until 3:30 in the morning, and I wasn't mad at anybody. And I'm like, how am I going to do this? Because it's like the two guys that I have to go off on. I'm like, how am I going to, have this energy? And they just wanted to let me loose. And they're like, okay, Shelly, just do it. So when we went to film, we did it till 3:30 in the morning. And I had opened up a gym at 5:30 in the morning. So just imagine this, not being mad, just going off like crazy person. And I felt so bad for the guys afterwards and like, no, that's acting. But just getting that energy and just going on and on. The camera guys, they couldn't stop laughing. They had to stop filming because the cameras were shaking so much. They had to leave the furniture place and go in the back to stop laughing and to gain their composure. And even the director couldn't stop laughing because what had happened was, they wanted to do this whole thing of me ranting on all these different jobs and stuff. And what had happened is one night they were giving me a ride home and the director, Justin Fielding, was driving in the car. And we're in this small little Volkswagen BW, the new ones. So we're all in this car. I'm in the front. And I was like, you want to hear some of my improv? So they're like, sure. So I'm going on and on. Justin's laughing. The guys are laughing so hard. I can't remember what I did. I don't know if I was doing The Exorcist or something like that. We almost crashed. And Justin had to stop, and he's like, we got to get you on film. And it was like, okay. And it was like, when they were trying to do it on film, it's like, at first I couldn't do it. And he's like, just, do what you can. So it was like, I was just going off. He says, just do whatever you can, just go. And so to have that feel, that flow, it wasn't like really acting. It was more improv. It wasn't really scripted.
Right.
So
have
just screaming, like, yeah.
Have you got previous experience? Like, have you taken any improv classes, or is it just kind of natural for you?
It's natural, but what I did is I've never really taken any classes. I was doing dinner theater groups. I did Joey and Maria's Italian Comedy Wedding, and I was a big hit Bridesmaids. And then I did another show where I was I was part of an original cast member called The Clattering. And it's like doing these shows, you have to be really crazy. You have to be loud and obnoxious and just be that energy all the time. And it's like you're getting in people's faces and you have to keep that energy going. And sometimes during the shows, people drink. So it's like you have to be on your feet at all times and aware of what you're doing, even though you're in character. And I was like, I was running, running after guys were running after me. I was jumping on people's backs. I was swinging nunchucks in one of the shows and stuff like that. And it's just like, all these crazy things of having that experience. And it wasn't the fact that you're getting paid like $25 an hour for the show. Mm-hmm. It was just that I love making people laugh. And it's like, not going, I mean, when you go to work without going to college and get paid $25 an hour for doing a show. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like forever with that show because it was like $50 a show, and it's kind of like, that's pretty sweet for not going to college. It's kind of like doing these shows, and I'm like, but it's like you're not thinking of the money or the paycheck because when you're doing these shows, people are coming to see you, and, someone could be having a bad day, and you're making people laugh and forgetting about their problems for a couple of hours for you being crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, so you understand that as a part of performance and being an actor, whatever it is, if you're a musician or whatever, you're helping people to forget their problems, make them laugh, or entertain them.
Everybody wants to laugh. I don't care who you are. Laugh. Everybody wants to laugh. It's probably one of the best medicines under the sun, and I think more people need to do it. Sounds to me like you might be able to look at yourself into a little bit of stand-up. It could be right up there with Sarah Silverman.
Well, actually, I did when I was in, I don't know if you know a guy, Donis Soares, he's a comedian, and I opened up for him in like a couple of little bars, and I was doing one show, and I was like, I'm very animated, and I just keep going on, I don't know what it is, but I get nervous when I'm doing stand-up, so I even talk more than I'm talking now, I keep going da-da-da-da-da-da-da, non-stop. And I'm very, very animated just telling these stories because you're having people stare at you and you're spinning up on this little stage. So this guy laughed so hard on the bar stool. I don't know if he was drinking, but he fell off. from me laughing. I was like, man, that's kind of like, I guess that's kind of good if you make someone fall off their stool from, you know, laughing so hard. I was like, I hope the guy was okay, but that must be doing a good job if you do that.
you know what I mean?
So
definitely keep it a part of your repertoire, especially if you like Jackie Chan, because if you look at Jackie Chan, he's all about the action and the comedy. Those are the two key elements that I see pretty much all his films, for the most part. And if you're into martial arts and if you're into comedy, you could sort of kind of become the female Jackie Chan. You never know.
Yeah, in my own way, it's kind of like, you know, the thing that with my name, with Shelly Nunchucks, is kind of funny. With it, I wanted a name that was, you know, different, was, you know, to a point, and, you know, something where people will remember it. When I first picked the actor's name, they're like, oh, you need some sort of Italian last name or something, and I'm going, why? And they're like saying Zamboni or whatever the heck, that thing that cleans the ice. What's the thing that cleans the ice?
Zamboni.
You know, and then with the Zamboni, and I'm like, what? I says, no, that's not me. So I picked Nunchucks, and they're like, that sounds stupid. So I'm kind of like, but if you look at it, if you pull up the IMDb page of actors, and it's everybody in the whole universe of the acting world, no one has my actor's name. I'm the only one, so that means I'm like one in a million, Shelly Nunchucks.
Right.
So it's kind of like, you know, it just fits me, and people are like, oh, people remember it, and it just stands out because no one else has a name. And it's like, when you think of it, things just pop into your head. You think it's something maybe martial arts, action, and that's exactly the type of name I wanted. And it's kind of like, now it's like everybody that knows me, what pops into the head when they see a Jackie Chan film, they're like, you know, Shelly, I was watching Jackie Chan the other night, and you popped up in my head. Or they're like, you know, Shelly, I keep thinking you. And like, I automatically have people thinking that know me when they think of me, or they think of Jackie. If they think of Jackie, they think of me. If they think of me, they think of Jackie. And that's kind of like a nice feeling, because this is something where I know it's going to happen. I know I'm going to end up working with Jackie one way or the other, and I will get my film to him. I'll get my, after it's done, I'm going to get it to him. And what I'm also going to do with my film is submit it into different countries with subtitles, not just in America. I mean, it's going to be comedy and action, so it's probably easy to submit in a lot of film festivals. It's like that genre that people really like seeing. So, you know what? Even the Asian film festivals, like the Terracotta Film Festival, I'm going to try to submit it to wherever I can. And, you know, it's my dedication, you know, to Jackie, to thank him for all that he's done for everybody. He's made me laugh my whole life.
Yeah,
and
no,
you know,
if you find out, you know, if you follow him at all, you might be able to follow some of his personal pages. He'll probably list places where he's going to be for whatever reasons, whether it's to promote a film or to do some music or whatever he's doing. You might be able to go down there and meet him personally and just give it to him. That would be, you know, even if he just looks at it, you know, your goal will probably be achieved. So, but, you know, you might be able to find that. You know, I think some people I know actually have, I think Tyler Williams, actually, I was reading something on his page. He recently went to an event where he was there and he gave him his film. So it's the kind of thing where if you look into it, you might actually be able to really meet him.
Yeah, I know a lot of people, they had Jackie Chan meetups. And another thing is I joined the Jackie Chan fan club and I finally got my package back. And I almost started crying because you get like a newsletter and you get a membership number, and it's like something where if there's any Jackie Chan meetups, they go, you know, you can actually meet Jackie, but he's been so busy. And the thing, when I got these pictures in the fan club page, I almost started crying because to me, they're worth $1 million. They're real pictures of Jackie Chan. And I have about 4 pictures of them, and I'm going, this to me is worth $1 million. Like,
that's,
you
great.
Know what I'm saying? Those are real pictures. They're not copies of there. They're like when you become a fan, and I'm going, oh my God. And it's like, I just, you know, it's really, it was worth me, to me. It means a lot, like those pictures. And now it's like, you know, I've been putting, you know, people making me sit next to Jackie Chan. And then this other thing, oh my God, you have to hear this. This one guy, his name is Kennedy. I don't know if he's going to call in tonight. I think he was having problems with the phone. I'm trying to get him on my show. And he lives in Kenya. And when he was younger, he got into a diving accident. And the thing is, he became paralyzed and he can't walk.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, he took up art and he's been painting these beautiful paintings and stuff. And I don't know how I found them on Facebook. I started talking to him and I says, you know, well, what do you do? And so it's like we've been talking back and forth on the internet. And it says, you know, if you want to, you know, he charges for the paintings, but I mean, I think our money here in America would go a lot further, you know, in Africa and stuff. And so He was like, well, I can do something for you. He says, well, can you draw Jackie Chan next to me? And he's like, yeah, I can do that. So then, you know, he's like, well, can I post when it's done, can I post it on your Facebook page? And I'm like, yeah. So when he did it and I saw him, he's holding the picture, I almost started crying. I mean, it was that done so well, and I'm sitting there going, I mean, that is like the ultimate, like, I don't know, compliment. I'm just sitting there going, I came home in the lunch and I saw it, and I'm like, this guy's good. And it's something where he's talking about, and I'm like, well, how do you get around in Kenya? I mean, isn't there dirt roads and stuff? I mean, how do you, you know, get around in a wheelchair and stuff? And it's like, I'm kind of amazed where this guy, I mean, where he's living, I can't imagine, I don't know if he's living in, like, any hot type of atmosphere, but just seeing his pictures of where he's living, I mean, the things that we take for granted here, like in America, I mean, just to think that, you know, what this guy's gone through, I don't know his actual age. I know when he was in the accident when he was, like, 16 years old back in 1992, and his mother just passed away, like, a couple years ago. And I'm like, this adversity that he's trying to overcome, and he's saying his own disability is not a disability. And he's, like, saying this stuff. And I go, this guy's an amazing thing that he has about him in his aura. And it's like, for someone to draw a painting, you know, has all this adversity, and it's Jackie and me. It just made me start crying. I was like, I can't go back to work. I mean, this is so beautiful, and it's like connecting with people. Now I'm connecting from different countries, and they're starting to want to see me work with Jackie, you know, because I've been talking about this for the past 7 years, and they're like, Shelly, I hope you're going to work with Jackie. And I'm like, I'm trying. It's like people like, I want to see you work with Jackie, and it's like, believe me, I'm trying, you know, because connecting with people like yourself, Jeff, I mean, even it's just to think way back a couple years ago. I mean, it's, what, 2008, now it's like 2012. I still haven't given up the dream and, you know, not forgetting where I come from and just seeing your stuff. I've never forgotten your YouTube videos.
Right.
I know they're a couple years old, and I'm like, man, this guy still isn't on a big screen yet. What's wrong with this world? You know, it's like, you have it. You know,
well, sometimes it's a long path for some people. You never know sometimes when you might get a break. But the key is this. You do it because you want to do it and you have to do it. And if you have that sort of mentality, then you'll have a sense of satisfaction in the work that you do, and you'll feel joy and happiness about what you do. And ultimately that's the best thing, because there's so many people that are miserable in this world because they can't stand their job, this, that, and the other thing. Do something, find something you like to do, and just keep doing it. Eventually, you're going to have some level of success with it. And you, like I said, you never really know how long it might take, but as long as you're doing it because you want to, then that's a success story in and of itself. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and I do have to ask, how did you get, like, into films? How did you get into martial arts? Was it because of Bruce Lee?
You know, subconsciously, it probably was. When I was a little kid, I did see a few films when I was a little kid. I do recall way back in the day. And subconsciously, it probably worked its way in. But it was in my family for a while. My father was a black belt in karate. My brother started getting into jujitsu when he was in his teens. And I had a lot of interest in weapons-based fighting. So I looked around and I saw some things. And, you know, I saw fencing at first. And then I looked a little further. And then I saw kendo. And when I saw kendo, I just pretty much immediately fell in love. And and if anybody out there who doesn't know what kendo is, you could look it up. It is just tons of resources on it. It's essentially Japanese fencing, and I just fell in love with that. And that's been my main study for several years. And I've always tried to keep martial arts a part of my life in some aspect. I consider myself an enthusiast for all my life. Before I even got into doing kendo when I was in my teens, I used to go in my backyard. I'd just pick up weapons, work on my own thing, could come up with my own ideas, not necessarily knowing what I was doing, but just doing it because I wanted to. Then when I started getting older, I realized, well, I want to take it more seriously. I want to take some classes. So then I got into kendo, and I spent, you know, at least five years at Boston Kendo studying that, you know, fighting in tournaments and just learning really great stuff from really great people. Such a positive martial art, such a positive sport, really strong, positive people. That all obviously attracted me as well. And I stayed with that for several years. And, you know, you move on, time moves on, you get different things that you do. You know, I wound up getting a job, a serious job that required me to work at night, so I couldn't actually go to class anymore for a while. But eventually I found a way to get back to it. And, you know, long story short, currently I'm actually teaching a class for beginners in Burlington, and it seems to be going fine. And I've had this a part of my life now for pretty much most of my life. So So that's, I don't know if that answers your question, but that's kind of how I got into it. And since, and after that, I kind of sort of branched out. I found other types of classes that offered different types of courses on different types of weapons, and I got involved with that. I learned a little bit of longsword, Western European longsword, and then a little bit of Eskrima, the stick fighting stuff, the Filipino martial arts. I mean, Filipino, I am half Filipino. It's part of my culture, so I kind of owe it to myself to learn a bit about it. And so I've used all this knowledge as I've gained it through practice with great people to, now apply it to film. You know, I have an interest in film and action and entertainment, and so it made sense to try to make that jump, and that's how I got into action filming. First, I started off as a stunt person, more or less working in other people's films. And then as time went on, as I developed more knowledge and experience from being in other people's films and seeing how it's done, I just developed the passion, if you will, to make my own, because I had my own ideas, my own visions, my own things that I wanted to see put forth. And one thing I find is that it's very difficult to get your point across sometimes if you're just a part of somebody else's film. Because you could have some great ideas. If I'll give you an example. You could be a great choreographer, make the greatest fight scene in the world, but if the editor has no real idea how the fight's supposed to go, and the DP who films it doesn't really know the right proper camera angles, it could be turned into a mess. And it sort of the integrity of your work gets lost when other people aren't exactly on board. So, but if you make the jump to actually making your own films, then you now have control over the DP. You now have control over editing. You now have control over the choreography. And by having control, you can now put forth the vision that is most close to what you want to be represented on film. And that's more of a self-satisfaction thing, and you get your point across the way you want to get it across. So that's kind of why I jumped to actually making films. You know, I have strong opinions about what I like and what I want to promote in action, and I decided to make that jump. And I tell you, it's a lot more work than just being playing a part in somebody else's film.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it's a lot more satisfying because you feel happy with what you've done.
Yeah, I'm learning that as I go, because it's like even the short film, I'm like people, a lot of filmmakers, they were saying, oh, we can help you distribute it and stuff. And then they're saying, well, we have to change this and this and this and that. I'm like, whoa. I mean, they wanted me to help make money off of it. But I just want my first film to
be short and simple.
It was getting to be too complicated, and I kept trying to change it and doing this and that, and even to pay homage to Jackie, and I wanted to take from the first strike the ladder scene. And I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be able to do it in this film. So it's like, I just want it short and sweet, a short film. It's a 6-page script, but the fight scene, I want it to be kind of a decent thing where it's not meant to win awards. It's just that it's coming from my heart. I'm going to do the best I can because I got the lead. And it's like Jason and Anthony are way more experienced than I am. So I'm really relying on these guys. And I'm pretty sure Anthony, from what I've been seeing on his pitches and everything, the guy's amazing. He was like, he's jumping off things. He's like being thrown off this springboard. He's blowing fire out of his mouth, and he's a circus clown and doing all this crazy stuff. He juggles, and I'm like, this kid's amazing. And
that's
pretty
great. I'm glad he's going to the festival this Sunday because I can meet him and say hello. It'd be great to know this guy.
Yeah, and it's like saying, yeah, Shelly's talking about you all on the radio show. I wonder if his ears are ringing right now. He's like, why is my ears ringing? Because he can't stop talking about Anthony. I'm like, I'm so excited because it's like another thing, too, is like he's someone who I like really can rely on. It's like, you have people you're like, you're trying to get a hold of and stuff. And it's like, you know what? The people that I want to actually work with are the ones that actually get back to you. Because I just like, I'm going to end up, I got to make boss and executive decisions. And I am not going to sit around and wait for anybody. I know I'm just doing indie films. But, if you want to get things done, you got to be the boss. And you're going to make these decisions where if people aren't going to get back to you or whatever it is or whatever thing it is, if people don't have voicemail for you to leave a message
tell me about it. There's nothing worse than the flaky artist who says they're going to be there and then decide not to show up and then not even call you.
Get a hold of them.
Right. This is one of the banes of dealing with independent film because we're not exactly at a professional level. And most folks on independent films don't really pay their actors or their talents or crew. They just get into the heads that, well, I'm not going to show up today, or I don't feel like it, or whatever the reason, and then they give you some excuse. It's a terrible thing, but it's something that unfortunately is a reality of a lot of independent filming. But the key again goes back to just being persistent. You know, if it comes down to it, you know, hire someone else. Eventually you're going to find, as long as you're persistent and you keep at it, you're going to find somebody else and it's going to get done. And that's the mentality to keep.
Yeah, and I'm trying to see, it's like, because I want my own stunt team, you know, it's like, even if it can, because I know, like, okay, I'm not saying anything's impossible, and it's like, I know I'm going to have to learn, like, you know, I want to do all this stretching and stuff so I can get really physically fit and as flexible as I possibly can, because it's like, okay, so I'm 42, and it's like, knowing I work with a lot of, like, it seems like younger people, but I mean, in Felk here, there's people a different age, and my bro, Horace E. DeLisa, I don't know if you ever met him or not, but, you know,
oh, yeah,
I've heard
you mention Horace a few times, yeah.
Yeah, and he's, you know, he's taught me, you know, Tai Chi, and it's like, you know, he put me on one of the leads in his film, and it's like, he was the first person where, if you actually look up on YouTube, maybe that someday I can get you a copy and a career, he's like, you know, he's a very well-advanced martial artist in many different martial arts, like Aikido and stuff, and he showed me, like, a couple little things where even with your two fingers, you can knock someone out, and I'm like, show me it, and he's like, okay. So it's like, you know, I'm sitting there, and he goes, listen, okay, I'm going to tap you with these two fingers, I'm not going to do that hard, and I'm like, okay, I'm getting all excited, right? He tapped me somewhere, and I fell down to the ground. It wasn't even that hard. I'm like, oh, my God, because it gives you the shock. And it's like, because there's points on your body where you can hit someone not even that hard, and they can knock them. I go, oh, my God, it's really real. Because it's like, you can't, you know, these real things. I go, oh, and it's like, you know, he's thrown me around a couple times. I can't stop laughing. I don't know if it's nerves or whatever. And it's like, you know, he's a big guy. And he was the first person, because it's like trying to overcome, you know, with acting. And what people wanted to give me was all the whole scenes, the sex scenes and all this stuff. I go, that's not what I want to do. I don't want to take my clothes off. That's not what I want to do. I don't want to do the kissing things. And even the ones that were basic martial arts where guys want the same level. Now, I'm 5'8", right? And it's like, they go to audition, they go, they want a guy, and they just throw one kick and a punch. And I was like, oh, well, I can do that. And they're like, no, we're looking for men. And this is extra work. And it's like, and to, like, keep finding those people, and it's like, when I told him, he says, no one's given me a shot, and I'm like, you know, and he's like, really? So he gave me the shock of my life. He goes, in a career, our first film, we've gotten so much better since this film, but he goes, you're going to fight me. I go, what? And he's a big brick wall. He's a solid man. So I'm sitting there, and he's like, I know this sounds so strange. I like martial and stuff, but I hate fighting and I hate arguing. It's kind of really strange. It's like, I don't want to, like, I like the movements and everything in the art form, but I don't want to hurt someone. Mm-hmm. So he's a big guy, and he's sitting there. The day we go to film, it's in the wintertime. I'm all wrapped up, and this is one of the characters. He goes, listen, you have to really hit me. I go, I'm not supposed to hit you. We're not supposed to hit each other. He goes, hit me, Shelley. And he's like, I'm just like doing a little mosquito thing. And I'm like, he goes, no, hit me. And I'm like, I don't want. And he's like, he's getting me all mad. So then it's like, I really go after him. He's like, oh. So it's like, and then he's kicking me in the butt, and I fall down, and then he throws me, and like, this, what it dawns on me, first time I hit the ground, it's not in the film, but you hear me go, like that, hitting the ground, and I'm going, oh my God, this hurts. And he goes, I'm sitting it up, I'm getting up, and I'm like, I'm walking around like I'm drunk, and he goes, you wanted the Shelley, you wanted to go, I know, and he's like, come on, and I was like, oh, and I was trying to kick me all, and you hear me going, because I'm getting mad, and I'm like, oh, and I see that right during the scene, and he just, like, puts me in my place, and he's just like, huh, and it's just so funny, just that comedic thing, but he says, he's like, you know,
it's great because it sounds like he's giving you a little bit of that tough love, and it's great that he did it, because I mean, the reality, I believe, is that, in modern film, Hollywood-style films and stuff like that, they really don't want their actors hurting each other because of budget constraints. We don't want anybody to get injured because then the filming gets delayed and then et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, but a lot of the old-school films, the old-school Hong Kong films, the Indonesian films, mm-hmm. you know, Tony Jaa, that type of stuff, those guys hit each other. And they don't pull their punches. If you're in a situation where you can't arrange the camera in such a way that you can get away with not having to hit the person and make it look believable, they're going to hit you. and that is the reality. They are hardcore about it. And that's what I admire, because they don't sell themselves short. Obviously you got to take precaution. You got to be careful. And it sounds to me like he was giving you a little bit of that dose of reality. So
oh my God.
It's definitely
2.5
a good
hours.
Thing. definitely a good thing. You should be able to adapt to that, and you should be exposed to that because, you know, chances are you may have to deal with it at some point in your career. It's a good thing.
And it's working with him. It's like he's very strict on set. It's like when he's not on set, he's bro. But when he's director, it's, you know, when I'm on set, he's director. He's very serious, and it's like, you know, working with Sahura, it's make me realize how tough it's going to be to work for Jackie. So it's like if I can't handle what Sahura is doing, I'll never be able to handle what Jackie's doing. So it's like Falcare is a very big thing to me. You know, we're doing, you know, we're all taking horseback riding lessons and all this stuff. And from what I'm seeing, you know, it's just like, I can't really say too much. I mean, the stuff is on Facebook, but the whole thing itself is, you know, when I was little watching Wonder Woman, you know, as a little girl, and here I am, like so many years later as an adult, I'm playing a Wonder Woman. And
yeah.
It's just like, I'm just like, this is really real. And
that's
getting
awesome.
More into it, you know, I just can't play, this is really happening. You know, I can't believe, you know, trying to stick with it. I mean, it's really hard because it's like, you know, taking care of myself and trying to be a very honorable woman where, you know, it's like I'm working a regular job and I'm trying to work. I work 4 days a week to keep a roof over my head, working a job, which I'm very thankful to have a job. But it's like, you know, it gets stressful because it's like you're trying to do, like, everything. And I'm trying to keep a head on my shoulders, focus on everything I'm doing. And I feel blessed. I mean, getting to know people like yourself, you know, getting to know more and more people, talk with stunt people and filmmakers. People are actually starting to talk with me. And I ask questions like, okay, Shelley, I'll talk with you. And I've called and spoken with people on the phone. I'm like, wow. And it's like, I can't believe people are really starting to talk to me. But this has been 7 years of every single day working and writing and talking to people and just repeating myself and just putting it out there for the universe. And it's like,
right.
I think when, you know, we were staying in contact and you were writing to me, it's like, I think you were one of the people, too, that said, you know, put it out there for the universe.
Yeah.
You know, and saying it's like, and exactly that's what I was doing. Now people like, I want you to work with Jackie, Shelley, I want to see it happen. And I'm just like, you know, now it's more and more people.
Absolutely. And I want to sit here and congratulate you on your radio talk show, because I think this is, you know, it could be the start of something even bigger. I think it's the perfect medium for you to get your point across with your personality and your style. I think it's a perfect fit, and I want to congratulate you and have a good radio show. And unfortunately, I got to go because
okay.
I don't know how long your show is, or if you got another guest coming on, you
yeah.
might want to prep that because I actually have to work. I do the late shift, so I got to get moving.
Okay, yeah.
But
we can talk maybe this weekend or something, or if you want to write, I can maybe set something up or start at the beginning if you want to send me some pictures.
Yeah, we'll talk
that,
a little bit about the fan page and stuff. I'll definitely get in touch with you.
Yeah, that sounds good. And, you know, what's the address and everything for the film festival before you're going for that action thing?
Yeah, I'll do that. Shout that out one more time. It's for people, everyone's online at this point in this day and age. The Regent Theater, it's www.regenttheater.com. That's RegentTheatre, not TERTRE.com, regenttheatre.com. And it's September 16th. You can't miss it. There's a calendar of events. If you click on the proper date, the link will show up, and it'll say, you know, all the information that you need to know about where to go and how to get there. Directions are on the website. Definitely come on down. It's going to be a great time. Yeah, whether you're a fan of action filming or not, there's going to be something there for everybody. And I can't say enough about it. I think it's going to be a fun time.
Well, that's very, you know, if I can make it down there, I'll try. But if not, I hope everyone has a lot of fun. And, you know, Jeffrey, I hope in the future you'll be back on my show again.
Okay, very good. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you very much. And, you know, anytime, Colin, even if you can't be on the show, you're always welcome to be a guest, all righty?
Excellent. I'll be in touch with you later this weekend. Okay, thanks.
Okay, well, thanks, and have a good evening.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. That was cool. Oh, man, I did forget to bring up something. I forgot to bring up about the stunts school that we kind of went to. Maybe I'll have to catch him up on that once again. What I want to do is take a little break. I'm going to go play a song called Battle Song, which it actually was with my big brother, Horace Zakor DeLisa, and his lovely wife, Sonari. Wonderful, wonderful song. And it is an epic song, and if that's, you know, if you can listen to this song, you'll get a feel for our film, Falcare. So what I'm going to do is play this song, give a little break. Here we go. Devil Song by Ohura Zakura DeLeaser and his lovely wife, Sonari. And I just wanted to thank Jeffrey DeBazzi for being a guest on the show. Fellow ninja, woo-ha! Yes, he's actually a Bruce Lee fan and I'm a Jackie Chan fan, but kind of cool. We were actually in a class together, in a stunt class together, and I wish we had the videos from it, but I think they got deleted off of the YouTube site, Matt Martino's site, and it would be kind of cool to see him. When I had taken that stunt class there, and I actually saw Jeff DeBazzi at a film called Bridge Crusader, which was a John Hodgman film starring Eric Eastman, which I actually fully enjoyed when I was there, and they actually had belly dancers and a live fighting performance, which I fully enjoyed, and they are actually going to have that action film festival once again. That will be, I believe, this Sunday. It's 2 o'clock at the Regent Theater. You can get tickets, I think, maybe ahead of time. And I'd like to bring up about the fundraiser for a film that I'm in. It has 4 women who are whisked away by the gods, and we're going to be doing our own, you know, fights. And we're actually taking horseback riding lessons. The costumes are all being you know, hand-stitched or put in together. And this is actually the fundraiser for Pell Care. And I'm going to read it word from the site. And I will try my best to pronounce everything the best that I can. And it says here, we need to raise $35,000 to complete Pell Care. We need different camera equipment and better screening equipment. We've gone as far as we can go without your help. Those of you that know Ahura know that he has the ability to take a little and stretch it to its limits, and he has. But now he needs help. We are asking for funds so that we can do a beautiful film to present to you. Even if 100 of you gave 150, that would help us considerably. If there are companies out there that would be willing to sponsor our project, we will find a way to feature you, your product, or your name in Pell Care. We will do it in an artistic way so that it fits within the grand scheme of the movie. We are doing the best that we can with no money, but we have hit a wall. We do not need millions, although we would graciously accept it. But to fulfill the vision of Pell Care, we need a little. All you that give will receive gifts, and maybe even a walk-on role in the movie. We thank you in advance for your consideration and hope that you will be generous. Now, Pell Care Fundraiser. The correct way to spell Pell Care is Pell and Frank, Alcyyr, Fundraiser. You can go to the site fundraiser.com, FUND as in David, RAZR.com, and you can actually donate there. And I am one of the primary characters in there, and we are taking horseback riding lessons. We're going to have to train, and it's something where just let me say from the bottom of my heart, I just feel blessed, and I feel very lucky to be part of this film. I never thought, I mean, I've mentioned this before, when I was a little girl, you know, I mean, a couple things, you know, besides watching Jackie, I was watching, I mean, there's many things that I loved growing up, but one of the things was Wonder Woman. And I sat in front of the TV watching Wonder Woman and little girls, you know, with Linda Carter. We all had underoos running around in these underoos that were Wonder Woman, and we wanted to be Wonder Woman. Now, many years later, I'm going to be part of a film called Valkyrie, and I'm playing a Wonder Woman with Wonder Women. We're not called that. We're called Valkyrie, and we're a Valkyrie. And to let you know, that was for the fundraiser. And Hor is just a very amazing man. He's going to train us, and he's very dedicated in just what he does. I mean, he runs a school up in here. He does so many things. He composes. He teaches classes. And it's just amazing how much this man has helped so many people out. I mean, it's just a thing that he's actually helped so many people in life. And believe me, the film would be worth it. And we've definitely upgraded from Anna Kreia. You can actually look up Anna Kreia on YouTube, and you can see the trailer. And actually, on Amazon, you can actually go there, and you can, I think it's $1.99 to watch Anna Kreia. Go to Amazon.com, and you can see the trailer. And I've got three roles in it. I play a warrior woman, a taxi cab driver, and the day I tried to learn to drive standard, I had to learn that day when we were filming, because all we had to work with was a car that was standard, and I was kind of causing traffic in Maine trying to learn how to drive standard for the day of the shoot. So I was a taxi cab driver, and it was an honor, a big honor, to be able to do a fight scene with Ahura. And let me say, no one wanted to give me a chance. And when I told Ahura this, he goes, really? I had no idea. I would have never thought in a million years I was going to fight this big guy. He's strong like a bull, and he knows many different martial arts. And I'm going, you know, I was kind of excited. He says, oh, you're going to fight me. I'm like, oh, the reality sank in when I went to do the fighting scene. When he first threw me and I hit the ground. Now, we don't have any padding or anything, and the ground's all hot. It's winter. And my head landed in dog poo, and I've got dog poo in my hair and everything. I'm like, oh, my God. I got up like I was drunk. I was like, oh, my God, this hurts. Like, I know, but it's the reality of sinking in. Like, and, you know, doing this fight scene, I'm going, I got to really do this. And he's like telling me, come on, Shelly, you got to hit me. And I'm like, I don't want to hit you. I'm like, oh, you got to hit me. So, you know, trying to hit him, and it's like he booted me and all this stuff. It's just like being thrown around for 2.5 hours. I go, the reality of doing your own something from that one scene, I go, man, this is really, really hard work. And I was just like, you know, kind of in shock that I had the honor to fight him in a film. And I know, you know, for probably, I mean, I just can't explain what a feeling was. I mean, of course, I was in pain being thrown all over the ground, but sitting there, I was happy. I can't explain. I just sitting there, want to finish this thing. I was like, yeah, and I'm walking off. I was like, I'm going to finish this fight scene anyway. I got dog poop hanging out of my hair. I'm all dressed in black. I can't see. It's cold out. I'm sweating. I got snot running out of my nose. I got saliva out of my mouth in this costume. I was like, you know, this is going to be so nasty. I'm smelling ripe. I'm sweating. I stink. I've got BO. And it's the wintertime and the ground is hot. And it's like, you know, I'm being thrown over them again. But the memory of this film, I'll never forget it. And then here we are. A couple years later doing Valcare. And it's just an amazing feeling. You know, people thought I would never be doing this. And they totally said, you know, you can't do this. You're too old and blah, blah. Next month I'm turning 42. And by God, I'm living proof. I'm doing so many things. You know, I'm running fan club pages. I'm writing in this thing called Hub Pages. You know, I just finished writing this book. And oh, this other thing. I just wrote this little book, but what I'm going to do is I'm going to another little break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk about my book. It's actually a children's story, and it's based on a true story about a ferret. So let me see which song. I actually was in the video. This is from Triceptor Studios. Yo, Crosby Tatum, back in Boston, Triceptor Studios for life. Yo, bro. But anyway, this is a feel-good song. It's called Feel, and I got the honor to be actually in the video, and we were all dancing around having fun in the day of the shoot. But the song is called Feel, and it has that happy kind of feel to it. So here we go. Song called Feel. As again, Triceptor Studios for life, baby.
Yeah. Last rip. Cat a B, Miss Smith and Envy, for the little 9 y'all, yeah, check this out, yeah, Triceptors Studios, check it, yeah, yo, chillin' in the club, toastin' it up, having some fun, just enjoying the love. I saw you walking by looking all upset. That was a cue for me, just the end of the set. To take you from your low, bring you to your high. Tell you positive things like how you so fly. After the club, meet me at the ride. We'll go to the beach, count the stars in the sky. In the meantime, tell me about your 9. You're the finest thing that's dressing all wide. Clothes you got on is a major turn on. Me looking at your mind is an instant all on. Yeah, God, it's the way how you touching me. Sending me a vibe right through my body. You're so attractive and I'm so addictive. Yeah, that's something different, I'm dying to get with it.
Ooh, I like the way you always pushing on me. Ooh, I like the way you put chills on my body. Ooh, I like the way you always on my mind. Ooh, I like the way how you do it every time. Ooh, ha, ha, ooh, ha, ha, ooh, you just make me feel.
Prime time player, used to chew girls up like now and later. Used to have 10 shorties all up in the jazz. Used to bang them all out like they never really had. I was going buck wild, I really didn't care. Had the blinged up loops plus the lined up hair. So fresh, so clean, y'all can help to stare. Living like Liberace where I kept the spare. Till I saw you, you opened up my eyes. The way you showed me love, it was definitely surprise. Never ever met a girl who kept it so right. Never ever met a girl who matched my left or right. Now it's just me and you, let's play one on one. What we playing for, she said, I said for your heart. Accept the invitation, let's have some fun. From the nighttime sky to the early morning sunlight.
How can I approach you on this? You make my whole heart to flip. When you're near me, I get chills. Without you around, I'm going ill. I'd probably die if you were mine. Book you for murder, you're a crime. Looking in your eyes, I feel I'm fine. But to the cell, don't waste no time.
Hill by Laz and Cass Tricepta Studios. One of my bro, Crosby Tatum, back there in Boston, who's actually in the middle of doing his film, surprise, surprise. And it's something he actually wrote, and take to heart, because it was something probably based off of his own life about, you know, low self-esteem and how we all have to deal with it. But I wish him all the best back there. And, you know, I am part of the Tricepta Studio family, and I'm proud of it. And always, no matter where I go, even the day that I happened to work with Jackie Chan, I'm always going to be part of the Tricepta Studios, and I miss a couple people, especially Crosby, my little bro. You know, he's doing his own little rocky thing back there, and I, you know, wish him much happiness with everybody that's, you know, working with him. And I hope to someday, dear God, to work with him once again, and I believe he's got what it takes because he's got a lot of heart. So, another one of the little things that I've been doing, putting a book together. I got it copyrighted and stuff. It's called The Skeptical Ferret. And it was based on a true story where I actually have, I get pets, basically. The animals actually come up to me, and that's how I got my cat, who's actually my little co-host. I have a little fur ball that's part of my co-host. I know it's kind of an odd thing to say to have a co-host on a radio show is my cat, which I actually named after Jackie Chan. And it's obviously, I call her Jackie Chan Kitty because she was just a stray cat, very thin and stuff, and she was in the backyard. She would come out from underneath my car and go around, take off. And I'm like, what is this cat? And she want to attack me or something. And it's like, I guess you really have to listen to animals. So she'd come and just run out of the bushes, run through, wow, take off. So one day I was like, okay, what do you want? She's like, wow. I'm like, what, are you hungry? So I got food in the bag, and I put it on the ground, and so she started eating it. So I started petting her. Next thing you know, I have a cat. And I was like, found out she was a girl. She's Calico, and she's absolutely beautiful. And she went from being a stray and unwanted to loved and, you know, being in my arms, and she's my little co-host. So a story I wrote, which actually I wrote many years ago, and I think some of my friends back in Boston will remember it. And it was based on a true story of a ferret that actually came up to me in Davis Square. And it ran up to me and raised its little paw. And then I had the ferret for a little while. And I learned, because at the time, ferrets were really illegal in Massachusetts. Now, trying to learn to figure out how to take care of a ferret was almost nearly impossible because they didn't have a lot of stuff in the pet store. So I learned you have to give it kitten food and a lot of things to do to take care of a ferret. You have to learn to take care of its nails. You got to trim it and try to trim these nails of a ferret. They're very, how can you say, they like to move a lot. And you have to clean the ferret's ears, and there's quite a few other things, too. You can somewhat give it a bath, but there's a powdered stuff that makes it smell like Smarties. I'm hoping that this is still airing. It looks like I'm still on. I don't know what that meant. It's a data connection lost. So I'm hoping that I'm still on the air. Still seems like I am on the air. Hopefully I am. Because it just said data connection lost. So I'm just looking at the radio station here. And it looks like I'm still on. So if I'm not on... I don't know. That was pretty strange. It says data connection lost. It looks like I'm still connected to the phone here. That's really strange. It still looks like I'm connected to the telephone. I don't know what that was, but I just heard because I have a phone and it has an earpiece that's connected to my ears, and the computer thing just said data connection lost. So it looks like I'm still in queue and everything, so I guess I'm still learning as I go. But anyway, to get back to my story with the ferret, you know, learning how to take care of a ferret, you have to clip its nails. You really have to, you know, clean it. And a ferret goes to the bathroom quite a lot, and you have to clean a cage every single day. And another thing that I've learned is, you know, ferrets have very sensitive stomachs. And you have to be careful with them because if they ingest something, it can get stuck in their bowel system and they can actually, you know, have a bowel constriction and they can actually die from that because they're very, like, little thieves and they do like to steal things. And I actually had the ferret for a little while and taken care of it, but it had passed away because I think it had gotten a blockage and I, you know, tried to give it its ferret bite and everything to try to make it, you know, maybe go to the bathroom and stuff. And so it just... You know, I guess it was an older ferret. I mean, it just ran up to me, and I had it for about 10 months. And to take care of it in the cage, I mean, I just can't tell you that it was a really sad loss when the thing passed away. So So it was something, learning how to take care of something, which led me to actually take care of other animals, cats and dogs, and I worked at a doggy daycare and stuff. But back to my story, the skeptical ferret was based on a true story, and it's about, long story short, it's about, like, you know, prejudice and not to judge a book by its cover. So basically that's the story itself, and it's just a cute little story, and I'm adding pictures. I have pictures of the ferret that was actually my ferret, and I'm trying to put it in the book itself. And, I mean, there's some things that I'm learning, and I'm doing everything by myself, and it's just like one of those things that I wanted to get done, and I wrote the story a long time ago. So I decided it was timely time to get it out there. And there's a lot of things online, programs and stuff that you can actually do to actually make books yourself. And there's companies that allow you to do that. So I have this cute little book that I'm getting together. And then after that book, I'm going to be writing one on a dog. I think the title is going to be called Cute Curious Cosmo. And Cosmo is actually a dog. It's a beagle. He's a little chubby beagle. That I'm going to be writing about, and I kind of take care of sometimes at one of my jobs, actually my job, it's something I just get to have animals surrounding me in jobs, even my acting jobs that I have, it's kind of like I'm always surrounded by animals. I just feel very blessed that, I get to do things people only dream of doing. And I know people can turn bitter in their lives, and they take their unhappiness out on other people. And I know it's not my fault, but I've learned to live my life, the easiest, simplest way I can, so I can enjoy things with what I want to do, like films and acting and such. And it's, I don't think I really have to chase the dream anymore, because it's happening. It's really happening, and things are coming to me. So, it's a blessing. And I know that I am going to work with Jackie Chan. It's just a matter of time. I mean, now I've been working with people for over 7 years. No matter what anyone says, I just believe that somehow, some way, I will work with Jackie Chan. And I've talked with, networked with many actors and stunt people and filmmakers, and just talking with them. And they know my enthusiasm. And I know I'm not a black belt. I have basic martial arts experience, nothing like, I can take out a headmaster or anything, but, probably enough for defense or something to learn. And I always tell girls it's good to know some defense. I won't tell you any moves that I know, because that's for me to know. And hopefully no one will ever have to find out, because I hate fighting. I just don't like fighting, and I don't like arguing. But in martial arts itself, I mean, I never went to, like, really competition stuff. I wanted to learn the flow of, the martial arts and the movements. And it's just basic stuff that I know that, hopefully I'm going to learn more as I go. And it's just something that I wanted to do for myself. So I learned on and off 2 years in capoeira. I did a year in Tai Chi. And, just because next month I'm going to be 42, you're not too old. I mean, there's people that are learning, martial arts in their 50s and stuff. So that just goes to show you, there's a lot of people in this day and age. Some people are just stuck in their own backyard with their own ignorance, where they think that's just the only part of the world out there. And the world is really a big, huge place, and I want to do more traveling. There's so many things up there that I want to see, and I don't think I'm going to be living in Maine for the rest of my life. I know I'm here to do 2 films, but actually, I just don't think I belong in Maine. I know I belong somewhere else. I don't think I belong back home where I came from in Boston. I don't think I'm going to stay in Maine for the rest of my life. I just know I belong somewhere else. I don't know where I belong. I mean, I live in peace. I'm very thankful for that, because I have a roof over my head. And it's nice and peace. And I don't let anybody into my life that, that's very dramatic or anything. I feel blessed. And I was glad to wake up about these things. And I used to be around the stupidest, ignorant people, and I was glad I could wake up and glad to know that I have a teacher and people that are very respectful, and also to wake up to learn not to be around the stupidest men in the world. So I've also learned that intelligence and people that with minds are the sexiest people on this planet. So if you're a thinker, intelligence definitely rules. And to be around people that can teach me things, sit there and take the time to explain things to me, that's just, you know, the best stimulation in the world. Because I sit there and I'm like, wow, because, you know, my mind's like a sponge and I want to learn things. And the teachers that are great teachers will know how to teach somebody so that they can get a grasp on things that they want to learn. Now, there's people that are teachers, but they only teach in their way, and the teachers that teach that way, they're not going to get their points across to students that want to learn because everybody learns different. Now, the smartest teachers in the world that teach things will understand that students learn at different paces. Some people learn faster, some people learn slower. But because some people learn slower, it doesn't mean that they're stupid. It just means that they learn, you know, different, you know, ways. And I've learned that once I start learning things and get a grasp on things, I understand more and more. It's not a disability or anything. I mean, you know, sometimes people have stuff like dyslexia, and I have, I mean, there's a few things, like sometimes I do mix up the letters and the numbers, but I've learned it's just, you have to learn at a different pace. So, you know, that's not a disability or anything. And learning from other people that have worse or disabilities than myself, I know I said worse or, oh my gosh, I mean, as the people, you know how like when you do things and you're writing, it's like now everybody's so obsessed with being grammar Nazis. I mean, if the way I'm speaking, are people going to complain about the way I'm speaking, saying worse or much worse? It's like, you know, I mean, people on the internet that have to be grammar Nazis, I mean, come on, just lighten up a little bit. It's the internet. You're not doing a book report or something like that. I mean, if you were going to be paid to be some sort of scholar or something like that, I mean, you're on Facebook or whatever it is. So whoopee-doo, somebody doesn't spell something right, or there, or there. Or, I mean, the difference between the words, yeah, I know where they are, but it's like, I mean, people from other countries, are you going to really chastise them because they're trying to communicate with you in an English language where it's not their language and they're trying their best? You can't chastise someone who's trying to get a point across to you. You know, you can't put someone down because, you know, they're from another country and they're trying their hardest to talk to you in English. So I give them a lot of, you know, credit that people from other countries are trying to talk to me in English so I understand, because I don't really know any other languages. But people from other countries, they take their time and like, oh, I'm sorry that I don't speak English very well. And there's nothing wrong with the way they speak, because at least they're trying to come into contact with me and talk with me. And I actually got a few minutes left on the show. I'm sorry, I don't know if I posted the telephone number. It was toll-free, 877-907-7217. You know, once I get to talk, and I mean, I can talk for quite a while. And actually, I've been looking at the archives of my shows, and I mean, not just the live shows, but looking at some of the shows. One of my shows, almost 800 people listen to one of my shows, and this is something that's broadcast where anybody can listen anywhere around the whole entire world. This show can be, you know, anybody, and I'm just sitting here going, wow, people really listening to me and bringing up my show, and I'm like, that can't be too bad with someone just talking and sitting here by herself, unless she has a guest or someone call in. And boy, today is my Thursday. Tomorrow's my Friday. I have to do more writings and stuff and so many different things. So I want to see what song. Maybe I want to play a couple of songs. Man, I really got to learn how to say these songs, how to say them correctly. Athenius, it's also another song by my brother, Aurora Zakora. It's amazing. His lovely wife, Sonari. Oh, she's so pretty, and she's got a voice like an angel. And you can just, you know, you can actually buy their music. Yes, sirree, you can buy their music. And, you know, even though Z's directing and run a school, he's actually a composer. And you can give him any instrument, and he can sing really quite well. So here's another one of those songs. By the way, this song is actually on the internet, YouTube. It has a cute little video, and it's happy and everything like that. So I want you to hear, this is another song. Here we go. Ooh, Okay, that was another song by Horace Acora de Leezer. It is a lovely wife, Sonari. And I am going to play one more song. It actually is my theme song, and it's called The Fighter. And it's by my nephews, Sacrifice and Kodiak. And the thing is, with the song The Fighter, in my film The Dishwasher, it's kind of bittersweet. It's dedicated to Sarah, who was Sacrifice's young wife. She recently just passed away from cancer. And in my film The Dishwasher is dedicated in to thank Jackie Chan. But the song The Fighter, which does fit me, is dedicated to Sarah. And it's just something where I've never met her. But from what I heard, Sarah was a brilliant, smart, beautiful woman. And she touched a lot of people's lives, and she was a young mother, and it's something where you just sit there and you just don't, there's just no words. And the only thing I could think of is God sometimes wants more angels. And that's why Sarah is in heaven now, looking down all upon us. And I bet the people that love her, she's around them. So the song of the Fighter was my nephew's Sacrifice and Kodiak are actually in the video. This song, The Fighter, is dedicated to Sarah. And it's going to be, you know, I'm going to write a dedication at the end of the Dishwasher film for Sarah, so it'll be immortalized forever. And the song, The Fighter, I just want people, if there's people out there listening, I know sometimes people have a dream, and sometimes they think that they can't do it. And I was that way too. You know, we're not perfect, but there's dreamers out there that have dreams. And there's probably a lot of Rockies out there. If you're a musician, you're a rapper, you're a singer, you're an actor, you're a fighter, you're a stunt person, you're a director, you're a coordinator, whatever it is, whatever your dream is, you know, it's something that you have in your heart. At least go out there and try. No one has a right to tell you that you can't do something, especially if it's not hurting someone. You have every right to at least try. And if there's people that are telling you that you can't do your dreams, get away from them, because you're just as good as anybody else. You have a life just like anybody else. You go out there and try. You know, if you're not sure what to do, if you want to make a film, the first thing you have to do, if you have an idea and you don't know what to do, if you're new, if you're a kid, if you're a teenager, even an adult, just get a piece of paper. Write your story down. That's the first step. And that's exactly what I did. Someone told me, look at someone that has a script program in their computer. Maybe someone can type it up for you. Like with me, Donnie Soares was the comedian that I work with. So he took my story in the first draft and he put it in script form. Now, it's about 6 or 7 years later, I finally found a director, Zane Farapath, who wants to direct it and take his time with his film company to film it. I found the actors, and it's like, you know, trial and error. I found out who the people are going to be in my film. They're going to do the fight scene. I'm going to do the lead. Now, 7 years later, I'm going to have one rehearsal, and I'm going to do the film. It's a short film. Now, is this film going to make, you know, millions of dollars? No. Is this film going to win awards? It's not meant to win awards. It's something that is from my heart. And it's something that's dedicated to Jackie Chan to thank him for the many years of happiness he has given me into the world. So in this way, my way, I'm going to thank Jackie Chan with this film. And then what I want to do is try to submit it to film festivals in different countries with subtitles. And that way, this is what I want to do. Now, it's my first film. Don't expect it to be a big, huge blockbuster, because you know how people are going to think. They're going to be like, and it won't matter, because I'm going to do the best that I can. And like I said, it's not going to be a blockbuster film. So if anybody has a dream out there, just at least try. You know, if you're just sitting there, just waiting away, just looking at TV, sitting around Twinkies, all you're doing is making your butt fat. Do you got to get off of it? You know, what's the saying? You poop or get off the pot. Is that the correct way to say it? You know, that's all you got to do. And if you're sitting around complaining about other people's dreams, well, that means you're just a miserable, miserable person. Because, you know, you're sitting there and you know, I'm not perfect. And I'm telling you, I'm the most imperfectly perfect person, definitely imperfect, but at least I'm trying. And if anybody, you know, complains about what I'm doing, I don't care because I'm still doing it and no one can stop me. And if you want to do a dream, who's stopping you? Do they tie you to a chair? Are you tied down? Does someone have a gun pointed to your head that you can't do your dream? You just get up and you take some steps. And if people are saying you can't do something, get the hell away from them. Because anybody that's not positive, you don't want to be around them. And if they're stupid and they're not smart and uneducated, get away from them. You know, I'm not talking about just going to college, but I'm talking about, you know, if they're ignorant and stuff, it doesn't matter who they are. But if they're putting your dreams down, get far away from them. Because they don't deserve you to be in their life. And just remember, you've got a good enough chance as anybody else. And let me say, to end the show, I'm going to play the song The Fighter. And for all those people out there that are working on their dreams, right now, I'm going to dedicate this to you. Hold on. Hold on. I'm trying to find that in the queue right here. Okay. This is for everybody that has a dream. You're your own type of Rocky, your own type of fighter. Everyone, have a good night, and this is for the dreamers out there. You keep fighting because you're worth it. You're as good as anybody else.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the breaks ain't hurting me. Game on, a bomber, my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Meet them head to head, I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.